The story goes that two frogs fell in a tub of cream, and one of those frogs looked at the high sides of the cream that were too difficult to climb over and said, "It's hopeless," resigned himself to death, relaxed, and sank to the bottom. The other was determined to keep swimming as long as she could. "Something might happen," she said. So she kept kicking and churning, and finally she found herself, y'all know what happens with cream if you churn it, on a solid platform of butter, and jumped to safety. Waiting is a hard kind of a thing. We who have watched for the birth of a Messiah, we who have walked through Advent, we who have waited for Christmas, we who waited through the end of the Christmas dinner for the opening of the Christmas presents, at least that's how it works at our house. You have to eat dinner at my mother's house before you can open the presents. There's dinner first. It's difficult to wait. And waiting in expectation is a difficult process. On this seventh day of Christmas, we can relate to those who have waited. We might also wonder if we got exactly what we were waiting for. And I don't mean just a Hatchimal or the particular electronic we were looking for this Christmas, but on the strength of the Christmas season. Let's look through the eyes of Simeon, who Julie just read for us. You see, Simeon was an older man, living on one simple and yet profound promise. He would not see death until he saw the Lord's Messiah. What a profound promise. He would not see death until he would see the Lord's Messiah. As days went by, day in and day out, waiting on the Lord. This is a little passage tucked into the end of the second chapter of Luke that we often overlook between those sleepy shepherds and the journeying wise men that are actually in Matthew, but we look for in Epiphany. We miss these characters often of Simeon and Anna, both faithful elders in the temple community. The gospel writer of Luke, who always seems to be turning our expectations upside down. It's interesting to note that the gospel writer of Luke makes Anna the preacher and the prophet, and the male figure, Simeon, the one who takes the baby in his arms. The Bible has a way of challenging even our most closely held roles, even in our own time. But today, our focus is on Simeon. You see, Simeon's been living in these expectations for years. We're not told how this has been given to him. But he knows. As a devout Jew, Simeon, regularly in the temple, knows it's been a long time since God's been directly talking to God's people. He knows the stories. God's talked to God's people before, but probably about 400 or so years ago. But Simeon's expecting big things. He's waiting for God to show up. just like you and I do. He's saying his prayers, and he's doing his devotions. He's pausing in the temple and taking walks in the quiet places. He's talking to the sages and listening to the wise ones. Like I heard Mel say up here, maybe watching the flights of the birds and waiting on God. 4 years and years and years. And then the moment when he is guided by the Spirit just to be present. Just to be present in the temple. As subtle as that. No sky rider. No 6 o'clock news. No live announcement. Simeon is guided by the Holy Spirit to be present in the temple. How incredible that Simeon follows the Spirit just to show up. Let me pause for a moment and give us a little chronological footing. In the liturgical year, we like to imagine that everything occurs in just 1 year. However, necessarily, the life of Jesus takes place over approximately 33 years, even though we tell the story in one January to December year. While we read this passage between Christmas and New Year's, the Jewish law indicated that 40 days after the birth of a son, it's 80 days after the birth of a daughter. Don't think too hard about that. The couple would offer the ritual sacrifice of 2 turtle doves at the temple. This is where Simeon meets Mary, Joseph, and now the 5-week-old baby Jesus. It's not the 7 days after Christmas. It's the 5-week-old baby Jesus. Okay. As Simeon discerns Jesus is the Messiah from among the many others who are present there at the same time. Imagine this for a moment, doing the exact same thing. Other infants, other families offering other ritual sacrifices. Simeon takes the infant Jesus in his arms and offers those blessings that we heard. Blessings to himself, blessings to the child Jesus, blessings to Mary and Joseph's, did you hear them? To Israel and to the whole of the world. Now you are dismissing your servant in peace. God kept God's promise across years, not across a few days, across years. God speaks to Simeon through Simeon to Mary and to Joseph, to the larger world, challenge and blessing that are never far from one another. Light of revelation and sword, oh goodness gracious, to pierce your soul. What puzzlement to the parents of a 5-week-old infant, who probably weren't yet sleeping more than 3 hours at a time, right? 5-week-old infant. Sword will pierce your heart. Still not sleeping more than 3 hours at a stretch. On this 7th day of Christmas and this last day of 2017, I give thanks to God for the eyes of Simeon, who watched and who waited across years, speaking God's words of redemption. Not easy ones, but words of redemption. There's a story that's told famously of a woman who rushed up to the violinist, Fritz Kreisler, after an incredible concert, and she said, "I would give my life to play as beautifully as you did." He's known to retort, "I did." "I would give my life," she said, "to play as beautifully as you did." He said, "I did. I gave my life to play that beautifully." Simeon gave his life, expectantly waiting and watching for the Messiah. And God kept God's promises. Simeon followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, the nudges, the subtlety, and waited on the redemption of God. Now I have to say, redemption doesn't mean that we've solved exactly how it's going to work. Redemption isn't our business, friends. We'd like to think that means we've figured out all the challenges that we have. Redemption doesn't mean that we'll be content with all the problems we've had in 2017, the conflicts we've had with friends and families. Redemption means we're willing to offer it back to God. Not take it back, offer it back, and let God make more out of it than we have holding it yet in our hands. One week, a Sunday school teacher, not the one pictured here, another Sunday school teacher had finished telling her class the Christmas story. And after telling the story, the teacher said, "Who do you think the most important woman in the Bible is?" This is after telling the Christmas story. It's always dangerous to ask these questions. You don't know what answer you're going to get. A little boy raised his hand and he said, "Eve." The teacher said, "Why do you think Eve is the most important woman?" The boy said, "Well, there's 2 days of the year named after her. Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. On this New Year's Eve, it's not just good riddance to bad rubbish. On the strength of the patience of Simeon, you and I have the choice to speak words of blessing. Words of offering God's redemption to the challenges we've known in 2017 and to look forward to 2018. Blessing is not just about whitewashing and forgetting. Don't hear me say that. Blessing is about letting God use and redeem the remnants of every experience so that the future might very much be God's. May you, who are in the long season of waiting, wait like Simeon. Wait on the Holy Spirit, who is subtle. May you, who are in the season of redemption, look for where God is already moving and get on board. God is always moving. This, my friends, these are the blessings of what has been and what will be. This is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.